Hello and welcome back to Rusted Culture Podcast. Yes, it's me, Frank Ebersold, and I did mention that I was going to be on a vacation here coming up for the next few days, but while I was packing the luggage into one of those magical one-bag carry-ons, I couldn't help but wonder if I should just sneak in one of my trusty mics and a little bit of gear, just a little, just in case Trump misbehaved or did something stupid. Well, as you can tell, I did pack some gear, and I'm glad that I did because Trump did pull some noteworthy stunts and some that are worth really talking about here. And I do have to say, though, on a side note, if you decide to bring some recording gear with you and you're going to be traveling on an airplane, which you probably wouldn't do, I mean, that's, I wouldn't expect you to, but if you do, keep that gear handy for the good folks at the TSA. Don't bury it too deep because, believe me, they're going to have a keen interest in a 3-pound microphone that's tucked away in your luggage. So just keep it handy where they can find it and prepare for a little explanation, which I did. But obviously it went through and I've got it here. So it's been a destructive week, folks, and it's hard to see the ignorance just flow like water. And the most ironic of all the ignorant things that Trump did, the most ironic thing, was that the man that Donald Trump hates the most actually tried to help Donald Trump quietly and without a lot of public fanfare. He tried to help guide Trump along, but Trump was actually hard-headed, as we know, and ignorant at the same time, which is really no surprise that Trump is hard-headed and ignorant. But there was a man that tried to help him. And the most ironic thing that happened this week was that really, before Trump was even in office, Barack Obama tried to warn Donald Trump not to hire Mike Flynn. As you can imagine, Donald Trump ignored that, and the rest, as they say, is history. In fact, as we know now, Mike Flynn lied to the FBI by saying he had no discussions with the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak, when he in fact did have conversations about the sanctions with Sergei Kislyak. And as we know, Donald Trump told Comey to go easy on Flynn. Just take it easy on him. That he's a nice guy. Well, as we've learned, Mike Flynn is really not a nice guy in the sense that we think of nice people. In reality, he was profiting from a cozy relationship with leaders of Russia and Turkey. And while not being as forthright as he could have been when speaking to the FBI about it all. So to call Flynn a nice guy, it's kind of a relative term. You know, I suppose if we met him in the store, you know, or just, you know, quick glance, yeah, you might think he's a nice guy, but there's been a lot of shifty stuff that he has been doing, and it looks like he was motivated by the almighty dollar. Big surprise. But it's really a tragic sort of thing, you know, when you see it all unfold. But that's what happens, folks. It's sad, but it doesn't, in my view, all of that doesn't make him a nice guy. But it's at the stage of Donald Trump asking Comey to go easy on Flynn that may have sucked Donald Trump further into the obstruction of justice whirlpool. Kind of like, remember that Tidy Bowl man? A lot of you probably don't remember that from the commercials. The Tidy Bowl man would be swirling around in there from the old days. Wow. He kept your toilet clean and shiny, but I think eventually the old boy was sucked down. The Tidy Bowl man just ended up going down the... That was part of the job, right? Caught in the whirlpool, down the drain he went. Well, Trump is in the swirling vortex right now, basically because he didn't listen to Obama. Yet he himself is in danger of going down the drain. And that just, it just the irony here is just remarkable. You know, it's like the Tidy Bowl man. You just can't put things to paper and come up with fiction that would prove any more ironic than this reality that's unfolding in front of us. And at the moment, the Mueller sleuths are just swiftly moving us into that $100,000 question, which is, did Donald Trump know that Mike Flynn lied to the FBI when he spoke to Comey about going easy? did Donald Trump know at that moment when he told Comey to go easy that he, in fact, Mike Flynn had lied to the FBI? So in the third stroke of irony, Donald Trump seemed to answer that very question himself on Saturday with that amazing forthcoming tweet where he said, "I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the press and to the FBI." Well, if Donald Trump is telling the truth and he fired Flynn because of that and asked Comey to go easy on him, then folks, we've got an obstruction of justice case that's kind of coming about here, don't we? If Trump had only listened to Obama, none of this would have ever happened. None of it. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the chronology of the tweets. And after Donald Trump had did that last tweet and he slept on it, maybe pondering the fact that maybe he said too much, he woke up the next morning and tweeted first thing in the morning at 6:15 a.m. "I never asked Comey to stop investigating Flynn. Just fake news." Really? Yep. Just fake news here. I don't believe that. And I don't think America, you know, is buying that either. Sad thing is. Fake news. God. I mean, we've heard enough about that. You talk about fake news. It's all fake, according to the King of Chaos. Donald Trump is, he wants to be the arbiter of truth. He's the one that will tell you what's truthful and what's not. You're to believe him. We just need to go to his Twitter feed and he will drop the truthful nuggets into your mouth, just like a mama bird feeding you. That's what he wants you to do. Just believe him. He wants to be the arbiter of truth. And in one of Donald Trump's tweets that he made on December 3rd, Donald Trump was alluding to the people who lost money on the stock market when it went down 350 points. Remember that? And it was based on the false, and according to Donald Trump, the false and dishonest reporting of an ABC reporter. "You should consider suing ABC," Donald Trump tweeted. And, you know, in my view, folks, let's just kind of look at that for a second, because actually this is a great story that does in fact prove that the mainstream media is willing to admit an error when something is wrong and issue a retraction. If the mainstream media was crooked and untruthful, would they retract a story and admit that a mistake was made? Because truth matters, folks, to these people. And we're talking ABC, NBC, CBS, the mainstream media here, CNN. I do believe that the truth matters to these folks deeply. It always has. The mainstream media hasn't changed. We just have a president here that wants you to think that they've changed and that they're publishing things that aren't truthful. And that whole premise of them coming out and saying, you know, "We made a mistake. Folks were retracting that story." I mean, that's the whole nature of what journalism is all about, is saying you've made a mistake, something that Donald Trump has never done, in my opinion. And even Sean Hannity, he hyped this whole thing up and tried to spin it as a terrible day in journalism. Folks, this is the way journalism works. People make mistakes. You come out, you say you've made a mistake, and you go on. It's not fake news when you handle it that way. That's the right thing to do, folks. And this whole argument of fake news, I think, was just blown apart by the fact that they made a mistake, they admitted it, and life goes on. They're not in the business of fake news. By the way, if you think Donald Trump is ramping up the propaganda on Twitter, he is. Make no mistake about it. The closer that Mueller gets on this whole Russia obstruction of justice, the collusion case, the closer that Mueller gets into Donald Trump's grill about these two things, the more Donald Trump is going to make your head spin with the crazy tweets that are coming out. It's going to be a wild, unmedicated ride, folks, so just sit back and keep your hands and feet in the ride while it's in motion, because the ride ain't over yet, and it's just going to get worse. You talk about head spinning, folks. Paul Manafort has literally gone full head spin 360 degrees with what he's been up to while he's been out on bail. You know, it would make sense, folks, really, wouldn't it? You think about this. It would make sense for Paul Manafort to keep a low profile. it would be a good time to sit back and just maybe watch a movie, right? Just do something like that. Maybe do some house cleaning at any one of his four multi-million dollar properties. Maybe some painting. Yeah, a little yard work, you know. Just kind of chill. Just take it easy. And, you know, just keep a low profile. Maybe even read a good book. But Paul Manafort wasn't content with doing any of that. What he's been up to since last Thursday has involved ghostwriting an op-ed piece about his work in the Ukraine with a Russian friend who has been assessed to have ties with Russian intelligence. Wow. The piece that he was writing purportedly was his way of influencing or attempting to influence public opinion about his own case. All this after agreeing with Mueller not to make any statements that would interfere with a fair trial to which the government, our government, is entitled to, and the defense is entitled to. It compounds the problem that the piece that he was writing wasn't as dispassionate a recitation to the facts, according to the court. It was not a dispassionate recitation to the facts, according to the court. So he was really trying to get out there and bolster his case, and he was doing it with a guy that had ties to Russian intelligence. Here we go, folks. Now we are full back to Russia. Thank you, Paul Manafort. Donald Trump just can't seem to get away from it. All roads lead to Russia, folks, these days. And we're just going to have to get used to it. So hang in there. We've got a little bit more coming up. I want to talk about this tax cut that's coming right up. Stay right there. So folks, what they call winning these days, what Donald Trump calls winning, it's really losing, isn't it? I mean, it's sad. It's sad to see. You take something like the shrinking of the national monuments, the drastic shrinking of these national these parks. You take the damage that he's done in the Paris Climate Accord. And I just have to ask you, how else do you expect a president that has no attachment to our world except in a financial sense? Money is everything. And that's his attachment to this world. Everything is all about money. This is a guy that's probably never been barefoot outside his bedroom, folks, and has probably never had his hands in the dirt. How do you expect him to care about the environment? I mean, really. Caring about the environment to Donald Trump is a manicured putting green. Sad. And this is the whole theme that I'm getting across here is when they say that we're winning, we're really losing. Just look at how voting for a candidate like Roy Moore with all of his baggage of dating a 14-year-old and all of the women who have come forward with similar stories of a teenager being pursued by this 34-year-old assistant DA at the time. None of that matters anymore. All you have to do, folks, is simply deny it, and according to Donald Trump, all is well. You've just passed the test as a good man. Now, let's all just get out there and vote for Roy Moore, because no matter what you've done, all that matters is my agenda, so-called agenda, of winning, which is actually losing. That's all that matters. And there's something wrong when we start to think like that, when you've muddled the difference between right and wrong, when you've decided that voting for a man that has all of these women that have come out and said these things about him, and I do believe these women, when you can push all of that back and say, I've heard him say it's not true, that's good enough for me. Folks, there's something inherently wrong with that. And we can't lose track of that. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, I don't think it matters as much in this case when you look at what's just simply wrong. And all you have to do is just give it lip service and brush it aside with the simplest of comments. And that's all you need to kind of continue on with it. It's more important to have a Senate that does what you want than to make a stand and say this man is not somebody that we want in the Senate. and without even going into his hateful agenda on top of it. It's just not something that, I having a hard time dealing with the fact that this man is going to be elected senator and is going to be seated in our Senate. I think our founding fathers would literally revolt at the notion of having such a man, you know, when we've basically fought so hard for fairness in so many different ways as Americans, to have a man that's so hateful actually seated in our Senate is an amazing, amazing travesty. I'm not quite to grips with it, but I can tell you, I'm not gonna sit by and not have something to say about it. And folks, when you pass a tax cut, we're going to get back to that here just briefly. When you pass a tax cut that is basically welfare, folks, it's welfare for big business and the rich. When you pass that kind of a tax cut that's actually welfare for big business and the rich, winning is actually losing, in my view. That's not winning. That's corporate welfare. That's welfare for the rich. And you're losing the battle against the middle class. And, you know, it's kind of funny because you didn't think that Republicans actually believed in welfare, did you? I mean, you just wouldn't have thought that they would have believed in it. This is how they do welfare, folks. It's in the form of tax cuts for the rich and big corporations. This tax cut is one of the biggest transfers of wealth in the history of the U.S., and they did it so lightning fast. They hope you don't take the time to notice. They don't want you to worry about the details. It's not up to you to worry about the details, folks. America, you're on a need-to-know basis with Republicans. They don't want you to know the details of what they've done. Quick and dirty, that's how it's going to get done. This deal is between Republicans and their wealthy donors and big corporations. You don't need to know. In fact, America, they will fight you to your death, not giving Americans a health care safety net, calling it welfare. They will fight you to the death in not giving you health care. But their welfare to the rich is a priority, and it's called a tax cut. So is it any wonder that Americans are in the streets protesting this tax cut? They forget, folks. They forget that we, the people, hold the power. They serve at our leisure, folks. Don't you forget it. They serve at our leisure. This is not a monarchy. This is not a theocracy. When the people have had enough of this, there's going to be hell to pay. And what we need to do is protest, let them know it. Don't let them ram this damn thing through without you knowing how you feel about it. They're counting on the fact that you're just going to let it happen. And you may not really know the benefit that these rich folks are getting or that the big corporations are going. They don't want you to know about the fact that this is welfare for them. You're just supposed to go on about your day. Just don't worry with it. But that's not going to happen, folks. They thrive on you not taking a stance, America. And folks, I really want to thank you for joining us today. Keep up the protest. Don't let them get away with this tax cut without knowing how you feel about it. And folks, we've got to take America back. Thank you for joining me, and I will be back next week in my regular studio. And we'll talk to you then.